verses 8 through 15. Let's stand as we read the Word of God together. Let's begin. But what does it say? The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans 10, if you have not already. And also, there is an outline that will go along with the message in the bulletin. I ask if we could bring these spotlights down just a bit, please. By way of introduction, let me share a story. In 1948, there was a young man who had recently married, and he had felt God call him to go to another land, to a very specific people group, to be a missionary to them. He had heard the call to go and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, with his people. He was part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so he went to the mission board of the Christian Missionary Alliance and he applied to be sent as a missionary. Unfortunately, he had a severe case of scoliosis. He was also sick. He was weak in his body. One of his eyes was almost blind. And the mission board reviewed his application and they turned him down. They said, you are too sick and too weakly to go. We can't invest literally thousands upon thousands of dollars to train you up and send you out. And then, you know, you either get sicker and have to return or, God forbid, die. Well, he said to them, again, he went back and he said to them, look, please, God has called me to this people group. He said, I know I have some handicaps, he said, but I tell you, he said, Jesus is my strength and Jesus is my healer. He said, I will be fine. Please send me. I will be fine. Well, a little bit reticent and against some better judgment, they sent Bill Cutts and his wife, Gracie, to Irian Jaya, Indonesia. And you've met Bill's son, John Cutts, who has continued the mission's work in Irian Jaya and has been in this church with the work of Village Missions. And Bill spent almost 30 to 40 years in Irian Jaya, and he was fine. He was fine because he took Christ as his strength, as his healer, as the one who called him and therefore the one who would supply and be his sufficiency. Now, that doesn't happen with every missionary, but he had a special calling upon his heart. This is why we support the work of missions through the Great Commission Fund. You see, because, and this is really the main point of the message, God calls some people to go to other peoples so that they may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. So my challenge to us today is let us send and support those that God is calling to go. Now, we, in the team that we have to go to Roatan, we're just a small group, and it's a short-term mission trip. But, you know, we don't know what God will do out of that. He may call some to further missions. He may use us in planting a seed that will explode in that country. The beautiful thing about this mission trip is that Marshall grew up there. He grew up in the Garifuna people, and he's a native, and he heard the call. He had felt the call of God in his life, and he had come to the States and been educated. I believe his whole family came, and he met his wife and married. They have an adopted son, but he heard the call to go back and to be a missions spearhead to his own people. And so my challenge is that we partner and pray, because not all people can go, not all people hear the call to go or don't feel that they can. And so we pray and we send and we support and we encourage. And my challenge to you today is, let's send and encourage those that God is sending. Well, why? Why does God call people and send us? We read just a moment ago in Romans, and we'll break this down in the few minutes that we have together. Number one is that there are many who have not yet heard the gospel. And therefore, how can they believe in the one that they have not yet heard of? That's the question that Paul poses to us here in these verses 14 and 15. How can they hear? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not yet heard? And how can they hear unless someone is sent to preach to them? You might think that today, in today's world, this marvelous technological world that we live in, you might think, well, Pastor, why don't we just send a radio broadcast there? Well, perhaps they do. Perhaps they are able to pick up some radio waves and hear messages of the gospel. Perhaps they can. Why don't we just send them some pamphlets and some books or a Bible? Send them a Bible. Well, I'm not sure if it's translated in their own language or yet. I'm not sure if that's done. But here's the thing. Just as Jesus came in the flesh to us, so God wants us to incarnate His good news in our person. We become, in a sense, Jesus to them. We become His arms and His ears, and we become His hands and His feet. And in this context, we're going to come and help them in a medical way. Some who have medical training, they'll be involved hands-on. Others of us, maybe I'll pick up a broom and sweep, you know. And that's how God works it. We all work together and do whatever's needed. We'll build some shelves. We'll make a water tank. We'll be Jesus to them in ways that they have not yet seen. And we'll let God use us the way He wants to do it. And so we're hoping, and it's our desire, that just as we've sent missionaries all over this world, that God will use us in a small way to touch the hearts of the people there. The second reason, you've heard it before, and I've shared the scripture before, but the heart of the gospel is here in Romans chapter 10. Look with me at verses 9 and 10. It says, "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Can you go back to verse 9 for me, Kim? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Let's stop right there. When we make a confession, that is a confession of faith. When I make a confession and I say Jesus is Lord, it means several things. It means, first of all, that Jesus is my Lord. I grew up in a traditional church context where every week we read various prayers, various creeds. We prayed some prayers together. You went through the service sort of in a rote way. And unfortunately, even as a young person who was raised in the church, The question was never posed to me, okay, you're stating things about God, but do you believe them? Tom, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Or am I just repeating a creed that, oh yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? Okay, well, you know what? A parrot can say those words, right? You could teach a parrot to parrot those words. But do we truly believe them? Have we truly embraced Jesus Christ as Lord, meaning He is the supreme one in my life? The second aspect is, when we say Lord, this is the Greek word kyrios, and it means, I believe that Jesus is God. He is the God-man. God sent Him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is fully God and fully man, the God-man. I believe that Jesus is Lord. But there's a second element here, isn't there? It doesn't just say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. It says, I believe in my heart that God raised Him from what? God raised Him from the dead. That, as the Scripture said, He was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day, what? God rose Him from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. I believe it. Now, this isn't just a believing of an intellectual fact. It is that, because it is an intellectual fact. It is a historical fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. But it just doesn't mean that I believe this is an intellectual fact. It means that God has convinced me, in my heart and in my life, that God raised His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. So much so that I stake my life on it. I remember I think I was about 18, 19, and I was working in the hospital. I was delivering food carts. And had the pleasure of cleaning the food carts out, so you get to clean all the oatmeal and all the stuff that had spilled. Just a real fun job. And I was going to college, local junior college at the time, and was talking to one of my coworkers, and we were talking about the future. And he's like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to, you know, get a better job than this, because he was cleaning the carts right next to me. And we're both scooping out oatmeal and orange juice and just real fun. And he said, yeah, I can't wait till I get a job. Man, I can't wait till I'm making a pile of money. And he said, man, I'm going to live life to the full. I'm going to live on Easy Street. And I remember, it wasn't me. I believe it was the Spirit of God speaking through me. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I believe He is God's Son. And, you know, I may never be rich, but I'm going to serve Christ with all my heart. And he just kind of looked at me like, what? You know, what are you talking about? I thought this world was all about making money. You know, and he was just taken back. And you know, interestingly, you might think, oh, he probably thought you were a wacko and, you know, blew you off. And to an extent, maybe he did. But you know, he actually said to me, I'd like to talk to you more about that. And we didn't do it right then because we were working. And later on, we had some more conversation. So it means that I stake my life on the fact that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he repeats it in a personalized fashion. For it is with your mouth that you confess. Excuse me, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You see, it's an issue of the heart. The gospel is an issue of the heart. And then, you can't keep it to yourself. There's no closet Christians. You have to come out of the closet. And I confess with my mouth and I am saved. Why? Because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you will not confess me before men, then I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty clear. Jesus said, look, you can't believe in me privately. One time a lady sent me a message and she said, Pastor, would you baptize me in private? And I texted her back and I said, no. Because baptism, by its nature, is a public confession of Christ. And if for some reason you don't want to be baptized publicly, there's an issue. There's a problem. And God calls us to publicly confess our faith in Jesus Christ and to share with others that we have made Him our Lord. Well, we know the scripture, but we're going to read it again. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. John Rich is going to read that for us.
For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him.
The gospel. Why do we believe in Jesus Christ? What's the essence? What's the substance of it? Because God sent His Son into the world to save the world. That's the whole purpose and motivation behind it. That's what God desires for each one of us. That's what God desires for the Garifuna people. That's what God desires for all the peoples of the earth. You remember Jesus' last command? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to all people. All people. Pantata ethne. Right? Peoples, people groups, ethne. And here, on Roatan, we have several people groups. One of them that God is sending us to is the Garifuna people. We are sending missionaries all over the world, many, many, many countries, to many, many, many peoples. Why? Because we're told at the end of the story, the end of the book, Revelation, the Tuesday morning ladies are going through the book of Revelation with a study from David Jeremiah. If you haven't had a chance, the opportunity to get out to that, Tuesday mornings at 10:30. Put a plug in for the ladies' study on Revelation. At the end of the book, it says, some from every tribe and nation will be gathered around the throne of Jesus Christ. Some from every tribe and nation. That's why God calls us to go. We're going. Now, please don't think I'm comparing myself and our team to the dedicated lifetime missionaries that are all over this world. We are just doing a very small a fraction of what they do all of their lives. Let me tell you two really cool missionary stories. Number one, Daryl and Cheryl Fennessy. They're a missionary couple that have been to this church a number of times. And they have ministered in North Africa. And then they ministered over in Iraq and Kurdistan. And then God sent them back to Tunisia, North Africa. They were in a coastal town. They started a community center there. Then they went further inland and started another community. They're in their, I believe, in their late 60s, maybe early 70s. And they felt like, you know, we've been doing this missions work for about 30 or 40 years. It's time to retire. So they came back to the States. They were down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And because you know of the immigrants that have come into Europe, they were contacted by the National Church in Germany. And they said, would you please consider and come to Germany because you speak Arabic and we have so many immigrants that have come in that are Arabic speaking and we need a translator. We need somebody that can speak to them. They're in a retirement. I don't know about you, but I could sense myself, I could see myself saying, look, you know, I put in my dues. I mean, 40 years of missions work. And we're just getting comfortable in the Atlanta area. But you know what? They've gone. They're over in Germany, ministering to Arabic-speaking people. You have met Ralph and Charlotte Stice. As you know, they ministered in North Africa. Then they ministered in France. 4 years ago, God called them. They went back to the country of Turkey. And they were there in Constantinople, Istanbul now. And they were ministering in a private school. And you know the story that Charlotte it was discovered that she had breast cancer. And so they ended that semester and they came back to the States and she had to have surgery and chemotherapy. And we prayed with them and prayed for her as she went through that cancer treatment. And we praise God that it is in remission and she's doing well. Last year, after he had come up and preached here one Sunday, he talked to me. He said, we feel called to go to Tunisia. I was like, what? You just got back and your wife was struck with cancer and you're going to go again? And as you know, they just left this past August and they are in Tunisia where God is using them in setting up a community center and they're reaching out. I mean, how can we sit back and not support them and not encourage them and not pray for them? God has called them forth so that those that are there, the ethnic people, can hear the gospel. And number two, it says that those who are sent forth have beautiful feet. They have beautiful feet. Now, that's point number two. When we think about this, that doesn't make much sense to us, does it? Have beautiful feet. I guess if I had extra time today, I might take my shoes and socks off and hold my feet up in the air and boast about my feet. Brother Joe up here is saying, don't do that, Pastor. When you think about feet, you don't really think about feet being beautiful, do you? In fact, I got a condition going on my toes. TMI, right? No. I just, you know, and this happens as you get older. I have that new mysterious disease. It's called OLD. You know, but one of my toes is turning crooked. I look at my feet and I say, they are not beautiful. So what does Paul mean here when he says, those that go so that they can share the gospel of Christ have beautiful feet? Well, originally, this term, the ones who have beautiful feet, were actually message carriers. They were used during the battle scenario. And they would be a runner who would take word of victory to the king that the battle was being won. Well, then during this passage comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. It actually was referring to messengers who were speaking messages of God's deliverance and restoration to the people of Israel who were in captivity. Many of whom were in captivity in Babylon. And so they were giving a message of deliverance from God to the captives. Here in Romans, it says that they are presenting a message of good news of freedom from captivity to sin. And so those who bring us a message have beautiful feet. It's applied to them and it's applied to us today that we have beautiful feet. What do we do with our feet? Think about that for just a second. We walk. And it's going to take us from point A to point B. From here, we're going to walk to the ride first and then walk to the airport. Then we get to the airport down in Honduras. We'll walk a distance and then take a boat and walk into the island. We use our feet to get us to where God has called us to go. And God says, when you obey me and you're used this way, you have beautiful feet. And so, Jeff, Alex, all of our team members, you guys, we're going to have beautiful feet. We're going to have beautiful feet. God is going to use us. So this is the message that we proclaim. Not just forgiveness of sins. Yes, in Christ our sins are forgiven. But it is also a message of release from captivity to sin. The Garifuna people have a lot of spirit worship. They have some of the traditional things that they brought with them over the centuries from Africa. And they believe in spirits, and they don't worship God, the one true living God. And we even saw some of the pictures of how even some of the children dress up in kind of some scary looking outfits and scary looking makeup and so on and so forth. They're in captivity to the demonic and they don't even know it. Now, they do it primarily for money, but they don't realize that there is a spiritual dark force behind that. And God has told us to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ that not only can their sins be forgiven, but they can be released from fear, released from the bondage that has held them in that fear, perhaps for centuries. There's a message, and we are going to have beautiful feet to share it. And so, as we close the message today, I'm going to ask it, please, would you pray for us? And as we go, we are going to give this message, the message of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who God has raised from the dead, and he comes to set us free from our sin and captivity to sin. We end with verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And I believe Colby Garrett was supposed to read that. Sorry. No, go for it.
Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ.
It's heard through the message of Christ. We have to go, and we have to share that message. So, I ask you, as the Lord has called us, would you please send us, support us, as we go to Roatan, Punta Gorda, Honduras. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we bless you today, Lord, that you have sent your Son for us, that we would believe in him and not perish but have eternal life. Lord, thank you. We live in such an affluent culture. We are sitting here in a beautiful church facility. Each one of us has food to eat and shelter and clothes. And we are very mindful, Lord, that 3/4 of the world don't have all of these blessings that we have. But Lord, more than the material blessings, you want people to have the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And so, Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh and new, that you would use us for your honor and your glory. We look to you, Lord. I pray again for the team, that our hearts would be prepared, and that we'd be excited about what you're going to do. But I also pray for this congregation, Lord, that we will continue to support missionaries all around this world, but also we'll get behind the team, and we'll look together to see what you're going to do. We give you all the glory in advance, Lord. I bless these people. I ask that you will watch over each one of us, that let us walk forward this week. And we again pray for all those that have gone through the devastation of Hurricane Matthew, Lord. We pray for those in Florida and down through the islands. Lord, we pray now for those in South Carolina and North Carolina that even now millions have lost electricity. And Lord, we just pray that you would allow organizations and even us, Lord, to be a part of the restoration process. So, Father, we bless you and we praise you. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, if you need prayer for any reason, some of our elders and one of our deaconesses will be in the front. Come on up and get prayed for. The plates will be by the door if you'd like to contribute. God bless you all.